Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out our spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and our young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, on this day, we come to you carrying burdens. We come to you full. We come to you empty. We come to you in joy. We come to you in sorrow and in pain. We come to you in all our diversity, in all our many in all our many clothes that we wear. We come to you wearing red for Pentecost. We come to you wearing orange to lift up before you victims of gun violence. We come to you in all kinds of uniforms, in all kinds of ways. But Lord, we come to you looking for a Savior. We come to you in our brokenness, looking for healing. And God, you always meet us right where we are. God, I thank you for George Goodwin's presence with us today, as he has so recovered from surgery that he's in the house, God, and we are grateful. I thank you, God, for our confirmands, Sophia, Caden, Russell, Ariella, Amy Constantine, Amy Greenhorn, Kinsey, Joseph, Katharina, Olivia, Corgan, Ellie, Jack, Joshua, Ethan, and Genevieve. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been working in them all their lives. I thank you for the commitment they will make later today. Help us, God, to make them proud. Help us, God, to make them proud and to make you proud in the way that we love, in the scope of our welcome that includes everyone from everywhere, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter anything about them, God. We know your heart welcomes and loves them. Help us to be that kind of church too. In Jesus' name, amen. Pentecost. Pentecost is one of our festival days that I think the church doesn't exactly know what to do with, because it's the celebration of an event in Scripture that was pretty chaotic. The Holy Spirit on the loose, an outpouring so dramatic that people assumed the disciples were drunk. People speaking in different languages and yet all understanding the words. Fire, a mighty wind, all those voices. A nightmare for a church secretary. Hard to do the bulletin for that. Hard to get the announcements together for that kind of event. Hard to know where to point the camera for the live stream on Pentecost Day. We even have Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. All of a sudden, he's a preacher. And he says, of course we're not drunk. But he doesn't say, of course we're not drunk. We would never do that. He says, we're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. Later in the day, you might be, Peter. Come on. He says that this spectacle is what the prophets were talking about, that this outpouring of God's Spirit on all flesh is what Pentecost is for. This is what Pentecost is. Someone has called the Holy Spirit the introvert of the Trinity, and I say, on what planet is that true? The Holy Spirit is a talker, not super introverted at all. I wish the Holy Spirit were a little more introverted and would leave me more alone. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit too. He talks about the Holy Spirit as the gift being given to the world for when Jesus is no longer here in the flesh. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, to invite over for dinner, to touch the wounds of, to have breakfast on the beach with. And we often think of the Holy Spirit as something calm and tranquil, Acts notwithstanding. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit in the same chapter as Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but my peace. And in John chapter 20, which is John's version of Pentecost, Jesus breaks into the locked room where the disciples are huddled in fear, and he says, peace be with you. And then he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And so we associate the Holy Spirit and peace, and we should. And peace seems so peaceful. So we tend to think the Holy Spirit is domesticated, you know, like a gentle breeze on the deck when you're on vacation. The Holy Spirit is referred to in some translations as a comforter, which reminds us of big blankets and stuffed animals and pacifiers. So it's soothing, you know, Holy Spirit as green pastures, still waters sort of stuff. But here's the thing. If Jesus is sending us a comforter, that means that we will need comfort. It means that the church is going to exist in a world that needs comfort. You know, a world like the one that we see on the news. For Jesus to send the Spirit, who is described as the thing that prays for us when we cannot pray, means we will have many days when we cannot pray, when we go into our spirit and our well is dry because of what we are facing in the world, because of what we're facing in our life, and we can't find our voice, and the Spirit will intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. It means there'll be many times when we find our backs against the wall, as individuals, as a nation. When we have received news that knocks the wind out of us and we cannot breathe. And it is then that the Holy Spirit will breathe for us and breathe through us and pray for us. It is the Holy Spirit that will give us breath and voice when we cannot find it on our own. The Spirit will hold us up and help us to sigh and to grieve and to move and to speak and to take the next faithful step in Christ's name. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. If the Holy Spirit is sending an advocate, it must mean we will need an advocate. In the days after 33 CE, we will need a helper, someone to be on our side before God to intercede for us when we miss the mark. But also an advocate that will pour out on us and give us a voice too. If you don't believe me, just look at this passage from Acts. Look how the Holy Spirit, the advocate, is acting on Pentecost. Peter says this is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young shall see visions, your old shall dream dreams. We think prophesying means predicting the future, right? I think the Orioles will win on Father's Day, where I'm hoping y'all join me at Camden Yards. That's not what prophesying is. Prophesying isn't telling the future. It means speaking for God. It means sharing the Word of God. Prophesying could look like comforting the afflicted. And sometimes it looks like afflicting the comfortable. You know, I had to loosen my collar a little bit today, in case it got a little warm in here. That's prophesying. Speaking the word that God would have spoken. Advocating for God, which means working for a world where God gets what God wants. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. In a world where we can't agree on anything. 2 plus 2, I don't even know what it equals anymore. I don't know where to look to find out. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we know that the nature of truth is that you shall know the truth and that it will set you free. Pentecost gives us a word to say and a voice to say it with. And that word is about a God made flesh in Jesus Christ who loves and saves and heals and frees. A word about the difference Jesus makes to a world trapped in sin and shame and brokenness and anger. A word about God's unconditional love. A word about resurrection in all its forms, in all the places where new life is needed. In every graveyard, the graveyard of addiction, the graveyard of despair, the graveyard of poverty, the Pentecost word is about resurrection and new life. The Holy Spirit, that advocate, often calls us to speak in our own tongues, in our own time, in our own way. And here's a great piece of good news. This passage shows me that there is hope, that if we speak together long enough with the heart, with our hearts together in Christ, the Holy Spirit can help us hear one another, yeah? Even if we're talking in different languages, yeah? We can hear one another in the midst of all of our diversity and difference. This passage shows me that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be one. We can be one. By the way, in this passage, nobody voted. We were just one. In today's world, I may not see anything that looks like this Pentecost, tongues of fire, you know, but I see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. Whenever God acts today, whenever God acts, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how God moves, how God speaks, how God acts in the world today. And that same Spirit that Jesus spoke about in his first sermon in Luke chapter 4 when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is now set loose on the world and poured out on all flesh, advocating for us to do what the Spirit of the Lord did to Jesus. His mission, we are now part of. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," which is a jubilee year. It's a time when debts would be forgiven. That's what the Holy Spirit does when it's upon you. And now those things are things that we are empowered to do and be a part of. And most especially, the church is supposed to do it, and church people are supposed to do it, not because we're nice, but because of the Holy Spirit, because we are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. I'm not saying we're the Savior. I'm saying we follow the Savior. I'm saying by the power of the Holy Spirit, God works so often through people acting as Christ's hands and feet and voice. I don't think anybody has yet conclusively found Jesus of Nazareth's mortal remains, though many have looked. So if there's a body out there, I don't know where it is. But the church is the body of Christ since Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is the thing that brings the body of Christ to life. The Holy Spirit is not just in the church. We don't corner the market on that. No way. Because the Holy Spirit blows where it will. And you can't tell where it comes from, and you can't tell where it goes. You can't control it. So it's not just in the church, but it had better be in the church. Or else, how can the church be a living body of Christ, living and breathing and serving and loving? It's by the Holy Spirit that all that can happen. The Holy Spirit today gives visions to our young people of a world God wants. It looks like the Beatitudes, you know? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It looks like the peaceable kingdom where the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. It looks like the world Micah describes, where the Lord speaks through Micah and Micah prophesies, saying what the Lord told him to say. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But all shall sit under their own vines and their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. the world God wants. The Holy Spirit works through you and through me, through our prayerful willingness to share the love of Jesus Christ with the people in our life and in our world. The Holy Spirit works through you and through me to repent when we have made a mistake, when we have missed the mark, to forgive one another, to be reconciled together, to help people know and share the love of Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls each of us into service, calls each of us to be a part of the body of Christ, to work for its good, to help it accomplish its mission. Every single time we repent of our sin, there ought to be a rush of a mighty wind. Every single time, people who have been estranged from one another forgive and reconnect, there ought to be a rush of a mighty wind. Every time we stand up for love and justice and peace, there ought to be the rush of a mighty wind. Every time we care for victims and the vulnerable, for people on the outside looking in, there should be a sound like the rush of a mighty wind. Every time we open our Bible, every time we fill out a commitment card, the rush of a mighty wind, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit working through you and through me so that together we can be the body of Christ and accomplish our mission that God sends us to do. Now, when we're baptized, we pray a very dangerous prayer. We pray, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this water and those who'll receive it, to wash away their sin and to clothe them in righteousness. In baptism, we're marked by the Spirit as Christ's own forever. And we promise at baptism or at confirmation to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a dangerous prayer to pray. To resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, and, wait for it, to live a Christian life. When we join the body of Christ, we promise the church our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. All those things, we don't get to pick one. All of those things we promise. We promise to be a part of the body of Christ. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would work within the one being baptized, that they would live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Dangerous prayer. Only possible because of the Holy Spirit. We don't just say, believe in Jesus and thanks. You don't ever need to come again. Maybe leave an offering in the back. See ya. It's not just believing in. That's what saves you, right? But to live a Christian life, it takes following Him. Living, with apologies to Rick Warren, a Spirit-driven life is what it means to be a Christian. Where we're ready to let the Holy Spirit guide, inspire, and give us courage to do that which seems impossible, right up until together, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we get it done. For with God, all things are possible. Don't believe me? Then you haven't been to Glenmar very long. If you don't believe me, you've never been to VBS. If you don't believe me, you've never been to Journey to Bethlehem. If you don't believe me, you've never been on a mission trip. You've never been to Hurley. You've never been to Baltimore. You've never been to Haiti. If you don't believe me, then you weren't here just this last week. When Glenmar pulled together to host our annual conference and like hundreds of people joined online. We do impossible things all the time around here, but it's not us doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working through us with a few people willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." A Spirit-driven life is a life that asks God, "How do you want to use me and that which you have given me? How do you want to use me as a Spirit-filled member of your Son's body on this earth? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to give? How can I serve you and serve my neighbors with that which you have given me? How do you want me to speak your word? How do you want me to spend your money? How are you calling me to act in response to the world's needs?" Thoughts and prayers? Absolutely, yes. But also in action, too. In deeds. James says, the writer, not like my personal friend James. James in the Bible, okay? James says, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what's the good of that? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." The Holy Spirit will prompt us to act, often in ways that are uncomfortable and outside our comfort zone. But if we are faithful in taking the next step, God will provide. We will grow in Christ. When we come to the communion table, we pray, "Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be the body of Christ in this world." Sometimes I say it really fast, and maybe you might not hear all those nuances in there, but that's a radical and dangerous thing to say. Come, Holy Spirit, and make these gifts of nature into vessels that by a mystery they carry you, so that we can experience your presence, and then make us into vessels that carry you. By the mystery, you know how you work. Take these and then make us into vessels that carry you. Make us be your body in the world. Dispatch us, send us, use us. It's all yours anyway, God. All that we have and all that we are. Today, Pentecost, Confirmation, Commitment Sunday, may we say, we are so grateful. And more than that, we're ready to be used by you. We're so grateful, and also we're yours. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-driven. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Amen.